95.7 St. Croix Country.
CBS News Brief. It's Election Day, and President Trump's weighed in on New York City's race for mayor. It pits Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani against former disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo. CBS's Jared Hill.
Monday night, President Trump officially endorsed Cuomo and threatened to pull federal funding from the city if Mamdani wins.
It's a tight race for governor in New Jersey between Republican Jack Cittarelli and Democrat Mickey Sherrill.
He's given Trump an A. He said there's nothing he disagrees with him on.
She was endorsed by former President Obama. President Trump held a tele-rally for Cittarelli.
I'm never telling you what car you got to buy. I'm never telling you how to heat your home. I'm not telling you what appliance you have to buy.
After rulings from federal judges, the Trump administration says it'll use a contingency fund to pay out partial SNAP food benefits during the shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says not enough.
The courts must make sure that full benefits are restored.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Actor David Harbour is a fan favorite thanks to just about everything he's in. Over the weekend, allegations came out that could derail the big multi-release of season 5 of Stranger Things and possibly his career. The 50-year-old Harbour, who plays Hopper on the show, has been accused of bullying and harassment by 21-year-old actor Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11 on the hit show. Hopper plays Brown's adopted father. According to TheWrap.com, Brown filed charges, which included pages and pages of accusations, before season 5 started shooting. An internal investigation by Netflix found that none of the charges were sexual, but Netflix hasn't really said much. Further upstaging Stranger Thing Thunder are allegations that Harbour started cheating on his current wife, Lily Allen, almost immediately after they married. Stranger Things wraps up the show's final season with episodes 1 through 4 will drop November 26th, 5 through 7 December 25th, and the finale available in theaters or on the streamer New Year's Eve of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs has a sprained MCL following Sunday's loss to Carolina and will miss more time. In August, Hobbs had surgery on his other knee during training camp. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs reacting to the news that Tucker Kraft is done for the year after a torn ACL.
Means a lot, man. It means a lot. You know, I get to watch him work his craft every single day. And he's one of our leaders on his team.
NBA, the Bucks in Toronto tonight against the Raptors. Head coach Doc Rivers on Pacers fans in Indianapolis last night, booing Miles Turner, now in a Bucks uniform.
I was really disappointed tonight. You know, this guy gives you 10 years, honestly. I want to make something clear. Miles wasn't looking to leave. Miles was made available. It's a big difference.
The Bucks won at the buzzer, 117 to 115. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals. So I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mostly sunny today, our high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, becoming breezy late tonight with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and a bit cooler with a high right around 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Well, the good news is we've got sunshine on the way for our Tuesday. Looks like daytime highs could touch out around 60 degrees. How does that feel? Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke in the Midwest Farm Report starting you off. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has all your weather details in about 15 minutes, I can tell you. Forecast in front of me is calling for sunny skies. Winds again out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs near 60. Tomorrow, sunshine near 55. Again, a breezy Wednesday on the way. Then Thursday, partly sunny skies, 54. By the time we get to Thursday night, there is rain in the forecast. This forecast seems to change a little bit every time we take a look at it. So I'll talk more about that with Stu when he joins us. Also, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us. And up next, talking about these new data centers that are popping up in the state. Right now, Wisconsin's got smaller ones and what they call hyper data centers, very large. They're usually near an urban area, but the power lines that they depend on can crisscross across a lot of rural landscape. Talking about that next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Hey, Jim.
Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us. Adjustments throughout the season were key with inconsistent weather and different field conditions. Yeah. But that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all about local expertise. We looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential. Crop management was a breeze.
Yeah,
response two scores.
Yeah.
And those yield monitors. Oh, boy. I mean, it's the kind of seed performance that's possible with a customized approach tailored to each field.
Well, that's great. But I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yay!
Cropland Seed, anything but typical.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist Corn Team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
To date, there's between 43 and 47 data centers that are either already located or proposed to be located within Wisconsin. While many are in southeast Wisconsin around the Milwaukee area, more and more are popping up in more rural settings. What do you need to know? I'm Pam Yonke from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And that's exactly the question I pose to Michael Greif. He is a legal fellow with the Midwest Environmental Advocates. They've been keeping an eye on these data centers, which are of varying sizes, and they have been looking for transparency in the process so that local landowners, as well as farmers that may be approached to sell their land to some of these projects, truly know what's going on. I talked with Greif and asked him to explain how these data centers have evolved, both in size as well as the scope of energy that they require.
Data centers have been around for decades. They power the internet. They power many parts of our digital modern lives. Historically, they were not that large. Typically, they were the kind of thing that could sit in a, you know, an industrial park or office park, and you might not even know it was there. But really, these modern facilities, what gets called hyperscale data centers, that's a relatively new trend, especially here in Wisconsin. And that's really just kicked off in the last few years. And I think it's important to emphasize these facilities are sort of a vastly different scale from what we've seen historically. These new hyperscale data centers can use amounts of electricity that are really off the charts, unprecedented for Wisconsin. A single data center can use as much electricity as a mid-size or even large city. So these facilities are changing the landscape in Wisconsin in a way that data centers previously were not.
One of the reasons why I've got you in studio is we are finding that they like to locate in somewhat rural areas. I mean, we had talked previously that right now some of these hyperscale data centers are already under construction in Beaver Dam, Mount Pleasant, like you said, that Foxconn location, and also Port Washington going down that path. Why are those attractive sites?
The type of site we're seeing them interested in is because they require a lot of space. They're looking for large parcels sort of located on the edge of a city or a village. Typically, those are farms at the moment. And what we've seen them do is they buy a number of parcels, sort of assemble the site, and then they petition for annexation from the neighboring village or city. And what that allows them to do is get the utility access in terms of water, in terms of sewer, from that neighboring city. And that provides the kind of situation that they're typically looking for. Large areas of land just on the edge of a city that they can get annexed into.
If I'm a landowner and I'm approached by somebody to buy a parcel of my farm, do they disclose what that is going to be used for, or is it just perhaps a offer to buy land?
One of the challenges is it can be hard to figure out what entity, what company is really behind the project. So they use a couple of strategies to limit how much information is floating around in the public. One is they frequently work behind anonymous LLCs. So the tech company that's one of those big companies we've all heard of, whether it's Google or Amazon or Microsoft, they will typically form a LLC or several LLCs that will be kind of their local representative that assembles the land and negotiates with the landowners. And it can be very hard to tell exactly who is dealing with the local landowners or with the city. Another strategy that they use is they frequently propose non-disclosure agreements to local officials. And these agreements can bind the local officials from saying much of anything about the project. And that's really challenging if you're a resident of that area. Your local officials are supposed to represent you and represent the best interests of the community. And sometimes you can't even get straight answers because they have an agreement with the tech company that's behind the project.
Michael Grafe in studio with us. He is a fellow with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He's focused in specifically on some of these new data centers that are finding Wisconsin very attractive. As he said, some of it is because of the sales tax incentive Wisconsin put in play. Other, I'm assuming, Michael, might be our available water, like we said, the available land. What are we learning or what don't we know about this process? There's been some concerns raised by people in the vicinity about all that energy coursing around me can't be good. What about available water? Help us understand what critical questions we should start asking if these are coming to our neighborhood.
I think one of the big questions for the state is how is it going to impact our electricity going forward? Because these facilities use sort of off the charts amounts of electricity. And that's going to dramatically reshape our electrical system here in Wisconsin, both in terms of physical infrastructure. You can imagine how many power lines are needed to be built to service one of these facilities. But it's also going to have impacts on who pays for all of that. So the traditional way that power lines and electric generation got paid for was by the ratepayers, meaning all the customers of the utility would sort of pay for the infrastructure that was needed to provide electricity in that area. That's the traditional way. But that really poses a problem when you have one very large customer coming into an area that requires a lot of new infrastructure power lines or generation to serve that one customer. And what Wisconsin regulators are working with right now is trying to find a way to make sure that the data center, the tech company, is paying for the infrastructure that is built solely to serve that company, that data center project, so that the rest of us, you know, your local folks, your landowners, your small businesses aren't paying through their monthly electricity bills to subsidize this very large tech company.
One question, though, is those power lines have to be going somewhere. Are they generally above ground, below ground? And you and I had talked before we began this conversation about eminent domain. That's where we start to see a little bit of a rub there, as I understand it.
Yeah, so these data centers require huge amounts of electricity, and new power lines are needed to serve that load. Typically, these are high voltage power lines. They're built above ground. And absolutely, that the utilities that are building those power lines have the power of eminent domain and ultimately would pursue that route if they struggle to negotiate an agreement with local landowners. So that is certainly a consideration here. And I'll say that it's often not something that comes up in the early stages of the decision. We saw this in Port Washington, where the city of Port Washington was approving the data center, and they kind of made the decision based on that facility. But then all of the transmission lines were proposed to serve that data center, which impacted a number of other surrounding communities. So suddenly you went from it being a local project to it being a regional project. And a lot of the folks who only learned about this when they learned the power line was going to be coming through their property were understandably quite upset that they didn't know that they were going to be impacted when this initial approval was happening within Port Washington.
That's just a portion of my conversation with Michael Greif. He's a legal fellow with the Midwest Environmental Advocates. You can lean in on more of that conversation at MidwestFarmReport.com and stay engaged in the process. If you talk to neighbors and it sounds like something's starting to happen, if you're approached about selling your land, stay engaged in the process. Greif said that there was one hyper data center proposed for the community of Menominee in Dunn County, but because of public outcry, that got put on hold. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Hearing from a lot of your neighbors, stuff's just not drying down like it had earlier, huh?
Yeah, not drying down. We seem to have a good time where the ground started to dry and then it stopped here for a few weeks. It appears to be improving again, but, you know, we've always got manure to haul or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, like you say, overnight now, it seems like we're picking more moisture up. I guess, but for most of us, it's been a little bit of a frost. That's probably not helping.
That doesn't help. It takes a while to dry off, you know, after you get that frost. Just wait it out a while. It's got to dry. A sunny day makes a huge difference. We ought to have some of that today, especially in southern Wisconsin. But the further north you are, there's a small chance there may be a little light rain, even late this afternoon or into the evening. I'm looking Hayward, Park Falls, Wausau, Antigo, Shawano, Green Bay. South of that, not much of a chance, but that far northern edge of the state could see just a little bit of light rain quite late today or into the evening. Not even a tenth of an inch if we see it, but that small chance exists. We're looking at just a weak front trying to move in and some very light rain back in North Dakota and back into Montana. You know, that's not a big concern. That's not an imminent threat, but it is a warm front pushing north. That's why our temps are going to moderate. Warmer today. We may have a low 60 at La Crosse for a warm spot. Not quite that warm elsewhere, but very, very mild. And we all should get ready. Make your plans now. I expect on toward Thursday night or into early Friday, another small chance of light rain as a cool front sweeps through the state of Wisconsin and then sets us up for a cooler weekend that could still have a little rain chance around towards Saturday or Saturday night as well. I'll have forecast details after this.
Hey, Jim.
Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us. Adjustments throughout the season were key with inconsistent weather and different field conditions. Yeah. But that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all about local expertise. We looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential. Crop management was a really with response to scores.
Yeah.
And those yield monitors. Oh, boy. I mean, it's the kind of seed performance that's possible with a customized approach tailored to each field.
Oh, that's great. But I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah.
Cropland Seed. Anything but typical.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, sunny and mild in the south, at least 60. More clouds north, that slight rain chance here late in the day. Upper 50s there, south winds 5 to 15. All of us have a few more clouds in the nighttime. There may be sprinkles in the north yet, and we drop back down into the lower mid-40s with southeast breezes. More sunshine in the south Wednesday, a few more clouds up north, but low to mid-50s. Northwest winds will be stronger, 10 to 20, even gusting to 30. Partly sunny Thursday, Pam. Low to mid-50s, maybe upper 40s in the north, and then that small rain chance again Thursday night into Friday.
All right, bud, sounds good. We'll keep our talk text line folks busy with that kind of an outlook. Again, talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. What are you seeing in your neighborhood? How dry are your corn or soybeans? means. How many more acres do you have to go? Just give us a little update on what's happening in your backyard. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, one of the folks that's on the way to let you know what's happening in agriculture today.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Shelley, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history, at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
CBS News Brief. It's Election Day, and President Trump's weighed in on New York City's race for mayor. It pits Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani against former disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo. CBS's Jared Hill.
Monday night, President Trump officially endorsed Cuomo and threatened to pull federal funding from the city if Mamdani wins.
It's a tight race for governor in New Jersey between Republican Jack Cittarelli and Democrat Mickey Sherrill.
He's given Trump an A. He said there's nothing he disagrees with him on.
She was endorsed by former President Obama. President Trump held a teller rally for Cittarelli.
I'm never telling you what car you got to buy. I'm never telling you how to heat your home. I'm not telling you what appliance you have to buy.
After rulings from federal judges, the Trump administration says it'll use a contingency fund to pay out partial SNAP food benefits during the shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says not enough.
The courts must make sure that full benefits are restored.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
More injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs has a sprained MCL following Sunday's loss to Carolina and will miss more time. In August, Hobbs had surgery on his other knee during training camp. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs reacting to the news that Tucker Kraft is done for the year after a torn ACL.
Means a lot, man. Means a lot. You know, I get to watch him work his craft every single day. and he's one of our leaders on his team.
NBA, the Bucks in Toronto tonight against the Raptors. Head coach Doc Rivers on Pacers fans in Indianapolis last night, booing Miles Turner, now in a Bucks uniform.
I was really disappointed tonight. You know, this guy gives you 10 years, honestly. I want to make something clear. Miles wasn't looking to leave. Miles was made available. It's a big difference.
The Bucks won at the buzzer 117-115 with sports on Mike Clemens.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Mostly sunny today, our high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, becoming breezy late tonight with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and a bit cooler with a high right around 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Big deals.
The holidays are almost here, but don't stress out. St. Croix Country Big Deals is here to help you with your shopping. Why wait for that last-minute madness when you can snag gift certificates from your favorite local restaurants and shops, all at 50% off throughout November? Go to stcroix.country and click the Big Deals banner right now and start checking names off your list with St. Croix Country Big Deals.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
That oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Road 1670 AM.
Well, yuck. That's all I can say. Yuck. The markets look just awful this morning as far as dairy is concerned. We took a beating yesterday for both barrel, block, and butter prices. The fluid milk prices are also down this morning. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is going to join us. What I'm hearing is that traders and their algorithms are having a little bit of a tough time dealing with what they're calling subscription diplomacy, where we're getting a little bit of information, generally through social media, no real terms of shipments, no real terms of what the deals are, and that's throwing off how the markets trade. We'll see what John has to say about that as we roll our way through a Tuesday. Welcome back. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke along with you on the Midwest Farm Report on this, the fourth day of November. On this day in 2008, Barack Obama was elected the first African-American to be elected president of the United States. He was the 44th person to occupy the Oval Office. He succeeded President George W. Bush and has been elected to the office twice. So there you go. Also, let's see, we've got some happy birthdays this morning. Happy birthday to actress-comedian Kathy Griffin, 65. And look at that, Matthew McConaughey, who's kind of grown up in front of half the world. He turns 56 today. And now you know, it's a Tuesday. Let's catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. You know how to spell it, don't you? STEFFESgroup.com. They've got all kinds of online auctions you can take a look at. You're ready to maybe line up your own auction for this year or next. Boy, you better get at it. The more time they have, the better job they can do for you. All you have to do is jump online at steffesgroup.com, or you can also feel free to reach out to them via that website. They'll be happy to return your phone call and get you lined up. Ashley Huner is along with us from the Steffes Group. Yeah, you can already tell by the listings on your website, Ashley, that momentum's starting to build back up now as the harvest closes.
Yeah, it really is. This week is going to be pretty hot and heavy on some farmland sales that we got. Now we're going into the after harvest market, obviously, here, and really good time to sell, really good time to sell equipment from now to the end of the year. And I can tell you, our auctions are going to be more and more, and they're stacking up as we speak.
One good way to keep track of what's going on as far as those upcoming auctions is the Steffes catalog. And you said that baby's ready to go too, huh?
Yeah, it really is. So they actually should have hit the mailboxes the end of last week. If you didn't get one or you want to get one, just give us a ring. We'll send one out to you. You can download it right off the website. Look at it anytime you want on your phone as well.
And how many did you say are in that catalog, you think, this time around?
There's over 100 auctions in that catalog, and we'll also be booking some more between now and the end of the year as well.
Now, when people are starting to think about this this process, and we've said this before, it may be a once-in-a-lifetime process, before they even pick up the phone to give you a call, Ashley, do you make any suggestions on what they can do to kind of prepare or to give you guys the best information to get things started?
Yeah, you know, it really starts with that phone call, but the next step is really the visit at the kitchen table. And people have lots of questions. Again, like you said, this is a once in a lifetime. They've never been through this process. Some people have never even been to an auction. So there's a lot of education that happens on the front side. And then it's a lot of show and tell, learning about your equipment, learning about, you know, just your farm in general, so we can tell the story of what's going on here and how things are progressing, and then offer up at an auction for an opportunity of someone else.
Right. Now, if just giving people an idea on the tone, I think there may be a lot of people a little anxious with the farm economy the way that it is or going into 2026. You counsel them on the value of what you're looking at before you even get them really signed up and committed, don't you?
Yeah, truly. And I mean, that's available for everyone on our app. You can just look at all the prices, kind of match it up to something you have, give you an idea. Sometimes that's what people need right at the beginning. So a lot of these auctions might start with a quick appraisal at the beginning and say, okay, take this to your accountant. Let them decide what year you can take the income. Some of the strategies we help people through are charitable remainder uni trusts. We do a lot of them, and those have a specific set of guidelines that you have to go through to save some money on taxes. But, you know, it really is a journey when you get started.
Yeah. And like we said, folks, why go through this once in a lifetime experience? So much of your income, your efforts have been put into the items that you're now going to be parting with. Let the Steffes Group make sure that they're giving them the full value, and they know what that is. Reach out to people like Ashley or the rest of the crew at the Steffes Group, and I'll tell you what, they are deep. They have got a lot of people on staff, many specialists that will deal with your equipment. If it's specialized, they've got somebody on staff that will help them get that value or get you lined up for some of the best buyers to circle in when it comes time to list. StefesGroup.com. That's StefesGroup.com. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
It has not taken long for a lot of Wisconsinites to adjust their purchasing patterns when they found out that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, or in Wisconsin we call it Food Share, is going to be out of money, at least for a little while. Stephanie Hoff has more.
The Trump administration announced it plans to partially fund SNAP benefits, what's known as Food Share, in Wisconsin. This is after SNAP benefits were delayed November 1st. The Wisconsin Grocers Association says this federal issue is having hyper-local impacts. Mike Semin is the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. He tells us what the situation looks like across the food supply chain.
The food share benefits are an integral part and a part of Wisconsin's grocery community. And Wisconsin's grocers have made decisions about orders and through that supply chain process, you know, weeks ago and months ago. And so as they see this change happen, the grocers have to be nimble when it comes to making decisions and how they respond, given maybe a little bit overage inventory here. Maybe they're going to have to reschedule workers in a different part of the time frame during the week. But they really have to be responsive and make sure that they're listening to the consumers and determining how to manage the inventory that they have.
We're also coming up on the holiday season. And so perhaps inventories were high, right? Because you have people preparing the holiday table.
I think during any holiday period, there's a heightened awareness when it comes to Wisconsin grocers, and they're going to be trying to make sure that they have everything on the shelves that the consumers need. And whether that's through that food share program or whether that's through the regular customers and the increase in demand that we see through both the Thanksgiving and other holidays that are going to be coming up. So really good planning on the part of the grocers is going to be really important, and being very responsive to consumer changes and inventory management and workforce changes, especially that we're seeing this first weekend.
The delay started Saturday, November 1st. We've had a few days. What are you hearing from the field so far?
So we're still taking inventory, if you will, on what we're hearing from the grocers. Not unexpected. The food share sales are down a little bit because of the change in the program and the delay in the funds. Food share did have some funds that were still available. So if you were a food share participant and you had not used up all of those food share dollars, those are still able to be used in any grocery store throughout the state of Wisconsin, in any participating program and store throughout the state. So I guess that's the good news. And we're still trying to hear what the initial impact is, and we're hopeful that the policymakers will be able to come to a swift conclusion, hopefully this week or if not very soon, so that we can get back to normal.
What's the connection, the economic connection between grocery stores and food share dollars?
Well, sure, in Wisconsin, all of those producers are really providing staples that are available within the grocery stores, and particularly for those food share participants. So when the grocers have to consider what the impact is on their inventory management, that ultimately is going to have an impact a little bit on those producers. So we're going to be working very closely with our producers, our warehouses, and all of our vendor partners to make sure that we can have a smooth transition, because we are going to come through this. And so when that happens, how do we manage inventories? And that's going to be really having to focus on listening to those producers and then making sure that the warehouses can distribute that product in a timely basis.
You had told me, Mike, that there's also a strain on those frontline employees at grocery stores with this delay in SNAP funding. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. The frontline workers of Wisconsin's grocery stores have been in a position and continue to be in a position to be providing secondary information, clearly through Wisconsin DHS and through the state and through the federal government. Participants should have received information. But absent that information, the grocery store checkout and the frontline workers are going to be the ones that are going to have to use a lot of empathy and explain what this might mean for their benefits. And we've been asking customers to just remain just a little bit more patient throughout this process, especially in this first couple of days as people work through what the changes in benefits might mean.
Mike Semin along with us. He's the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association, explaining the supply chain side of what happens when SNAP or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits are delayed. The Trump administration announced November 3rd it plans to partially fund SNAP benefits. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. Well, markets and overnight electronic trade are just flat out depressing. Dairy yesterday, barrel cheese dropped 5.5 cents in a day at 175. 40-pound block cheese down 10.25 at 166.5. Double A butter down 3.25 at 157.75. And you've got to believe it's kind of correlated to the SNAP food share benefit program. This morning, December Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 15 cents at $16.85. January's down a nickel. Right now, December corn's down 2 at $4.32. January soybeans are down 7 at $11.27. July wheat, that's down a penny as well, $5.76 a bushel. What's up in the markets? John Heinberg helps us understand next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Shutdown, we're still lacking all the daily information, but the USDA came out in the last week, kind of a little bit of a surprise announcement that they're going to go ahead and release some of the November reports as we get further into the month here. Obviously, in the grain markets, the WASDE crop production report is still kind of the big focus. And, you know, what is the trends in terms of this yield as well as the demand, and just kind of getting at least a little bit of a path here from what the USDA is thinking, I think it's going to be pretty key. You know, right now their expectations are going to release that report on the 14th of November. It was supposed to be on the 10th. Now the question we all have, and is it going to be the October numbers released for November, or are we going to just go right to November and skip October? You know, I was trying to look back what happened in 18. It looks like, if I remember correctly, 18 did a couple different reports over like a 2-week span to get things caught up. But at least we're going to get some information out there. Now, I'm going to be cautious of it because, obviously, what the USDA puts out there for numbers, where prices are, might be something that producers want to make sure you're staying on top of some sales here or building a little defense in case we get some type of negative surprise and this market feels like it's overvalued given the rally we've seen here over the last couple of weeks.
I had a story on this morning that said it's just sporadic decisions that are not only confusing producers, but the market too, John. This kind of just pop and shout kind of information coming to the marketplace, does that flow well with algorithms?
Again, they're going to trade them aggressively, and they're going to look for what expectations are in terms of the algo traders. And it really doesn't. It doesn't really set a path. It kind of just puts a point on the map, per se. And if they're not at that point, they're going to adjust accordingly in terms of whether they're buying or selling the market. You know, so it's going to turn into some pretty big volatility, I would assume, around that 14th date, as well as just with the wrap-up of harvest. Now, obviously, the trade deal's on the table. You know, are we making those sales? All those things are going to be big pieces here. So the next couple of weeks could be pretty interesting from the volatility standpoint, like we haven't been dealing with that for a few weeks here anyway.
Yeah, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779 if you need to find them. The other issue that I want to just touch on briefly, John, yesterday we saw a major clubbing of the dairy complex, and I wonder how much that has to do with the delay on SNAP benefits.
That's a possibility in that regard, again, putting some pressure on the demand side, as well as, too, you know, we still have a lot of clarity on the trade deal in terms of things that may be moving. I know that's some of the things that's been kind of optimistic in the marketplace, but I think the focus is more domestic in terms of the SNAP situation and the impact there that could affect domestic demand. When you see a 10-cent drop in block cheese yesterday, you know, it just kind of looked like things were going to be pretty rough shape. Now, market kind of hung in there better than I thought it would. I was pretty anxious when I saw that number. So we'll have to see if some of that trade demand some of that positive feeling regarding Southeast Asia demand can maybe keep this market a little bit more supported.
Has the pork complex responded? That was considered one of the areas of happy when they announced the Southeast Asia's trade.
Unfortunately, the pork complex just really hasn't. It's been on just a negative slide here. Fairly rough day and closed yesterday. Tried to break it out to the up, back up to the upside, but then fell right back below some key support. Yeah, I still think pork charts got value here. The pork market's got some value here, just given where the retail values are, cash market, things of that nature. But right now, the sellers seem to still be in a little bit of control.
When are you going to find out just how many reports and at what speed we're going to get, John?
Well, we got the list from the USDA the other day in terms of when things are coming out. We're going to get milk production on the 10th. That's going to be the October report. Then we got cattle on feed's going to come back on the 21st as previously scheduled. Then we're going to get November milk production on the 21st. So we're going to get a double milk production report here in the month of November. And then obviously the biggest one in terms of the grains is the WASD crop production coming on the 14th, which is delayed a few days from its original scheduled date.
Oh. It's always something. Thanks, John. Appreciate the update. John Heinberg joining us live on a Tuesday morning to try to let you know what's going on behind the scenes with the marketplace. Again, like we said, go to totalfarmmarketing.com if you want to follow up and get more information on the trade information.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Fat is no longer the bad guy in our diet. That's next on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. Before you take on some risky task or project on the farm, ask yourself, what would happen if this goes south? If I get hurt or even die in the process, what would happen to my family and the farm? Use your best judgment to decide what's acceptable or unacceptable risk. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Fat and cholesterol. We've been told to avoid these for decades, according to Nina Teicholz, founder of a nonprofit called the Nutrition Coalition.
In 1961, we have the first advice anywhere in the world to cut back on saturated fat and dietary cholesterol as the single most effective way to prevent heart disease. That's where it all started. We were not fat phobic, particularly until that time, and we are suffering the consequences as a result of that.
Teicholz says dietary guidelines back in the 1960s were based on limited research.
The single most important policy driving what Americans think is a healthy diet is the U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans. It's co-issued by USDA and HHS. That determines all the food assistance programs, so school meals, food in hospitals, what the military is told to eat, all feeding assistance programs for women and infant children, also downloaded to all health professionals, and they deliver those guidelines, which, you know, if you believe that we should be eating more fruits, vegetables, grains, and keeping your animal foods low, that's basically the dietary guidelines for the last 45 years. So that really needs to change.
What we should be eating, says Teicholz, are animal fats, certain types of seafood, and organ meats like liver. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country. Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Somewhere in the race we run, we're coming up.